You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball. And live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
All right. Is the plane off the ground here? You'll notice on the YouTube channel that all three of us, Phil Mackey, Kyle Tighe, and our executive producer of Flagrant Howls extraordinaire, Ross Brendel, are in different places than we ordinarily are for this podcast. Ross and I have more like work-related reasons where I'm in studio for a separate project. Kyle has a raincoat on because his house is falling apart today. So
there is a hole in my living room up there.
What?
And it was just dripping on me about an hour ago. This is my life. Everyone thinks the content game is so cool and fun. It's not sometimes. So this is my life. I just texted you right before this. I said, thank God the Pistons lost or the Wolves won, because I'm going to just have a meltdown today.
It's all fun and games till Kyle gets rained on in his own place.
Yeah, are you wearing a raincoat because you have to right now, or is this like a style statement?
It's really, well, it's also just expresses my mood, but it's really cold in here because there's a hole in my ceiling. We're in day 5 or day 6 or day 13 of an ice storm, and yeah, I know, I put it on because I was literally just like, I was having coffee, I was like, oh, I'm going to prep for this podcast, and then just started getting hit in the head, and it's like, this is
dude.
New low for me.
Dude, okay, we will talk. I promise you guys, we will talk about the Timberwolves. And I actually have a big
anthem. Let's just talk about.
Well, no, last night was one of the biggest wins of the season because you didn't lose to the Pistons. Like,
right.
To me, that not losing to the Pistons is one of the biggest wins of the year. Because last year, they lost twice to the Pistons, and one of those was like, what was it? Was it New Year's Eve, or it was close to there? And it sparked a come to Jesus players only meeting, yep. And kind of a turning point, I guess, in the season.
Yeah, it was it was last New Year's at home. They lost to the Pistons, who were once again really bad. And they had a players only meeting. And I think I have this right. One of the guys they sent to do like media availability after it, because, you know, players are pissed off, was like Luka Garza. Like, he randomly just, like, did the post-game locker room stuff. So, yeah, it's, like, 382 days removed from that Pistons loss. Wasn't pretty last night. They played with their food. Finch wasn't happy, but they got the W, 29-11. What else can you say?
And we'll put a pin in that and circle back and a couple of things. But I have, like, a couple more roof-leaking questions for you. Are you on, like, the top floor of a building?
Yep.
So, because at first, when you were texting, I thought maybe it was the unit above you had a like a bathtub leak or something. But it's like an open hole to the sky? Is that what's happening?
Pretty much, yeah. We are we are on the top floor of this little castle. This won't shock anyone. I know zero about any of this stuff, but there is just insulation falling through the ceiling, kind of like a fake snow that you would see at the mall. About 45 minutes into touching it and cleaning it up, my wife was like, I think there's fiberglass in there. That was news to me. So my fingers might just be compromised, but the show must go on. So
is it fair game for you, Kyle, to have like an open flame in the middle of the living room? You know,
We're close. I also thought about just burning down the apartment, but whoever our sponsor is that does the home mortgages, hit me up because I need a house.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because that would be our friend David at First Equity Mortgage here, Kyle. Let's talk about them for a second before we talk some Timberwolves. A few years ago, I had an amazing experience refinancing my home with David at First Equity Mortgage, and Kyle and his wife are going to have an amazing experience buying a home back here in Timberwolves land. It's going to be great. So First Equity Mortgage is Minnesota-based, 24 years in the market. They pride themselves on supporting the community, treating every customer as a friend and a neighbor. So David is actually a 20-year Timberwolves and Lynx season ticket holder, too. So you'll see him roaming around the nice seats there on Target Center. Not only did I have a great experience with First Equity, but First Equity has also handled home loans for 20 of my friends and coworkers. They work fast. They have a great reputation. You know what you're going to get, and it's a great experience at First Equity Mortgage. Go to femort.com. That's femort.com or scorenorth.com, keyword David, to find out more. Another service Kyle might need is Zero Res. If your home is kind of a disaster because either you haven't cleaned your carpets in forever or because there's a literal hole in your ceiling and now your home is dirty, Zero Res is here to deep clean your home. They have a 4.9 rating out of 5 on Google with 17,000 reviews. And if you call right now or go to the website zeroresminnesota.com, you can get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119 when you ask for the Score North special. So ask for the Score North special, 3 rooms, Zero Resified, $75 off your air ducts getting cleaned, 952-ZERO-RES or zeroresminnesota.com and spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same, Zero Res.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Okay. Ross brings up a good point. I should mention this in case you're like, what is this lunatic talking about? One of the best stories of last night on Wolves related was DeAndre Ayton, center for the Portland Trailblazers, was a DNP last night in a home game against the Nets because he couldn't get to his job. Among us, right?
That's a real thing in the Pacific Northwest, by the way.
I know. Right. On Tuesday, I was trying to be like, you know, understanding because I thought this was the end of it, and it's only gotten worse. You said something about, you know, it's hard to plow or 45 degree angles, and I saw someone in the comment section is like, well, Duluth does it. So again, just shout out to the Midwest because we just are tougher and stronger and have a better hold on this. But yeah, DeAndre Ayton had a sheet of ice on a very steep driveway, and they just couldn't get him out. So he just like didn't go to work last night and couldn't play. He was healthy, he was fine, but he couldn't get to the arena. They tried to send like rescue crews to pick him up. If you really wanted to make it to the game, like they're tanking, but he could have slid on his garbage can down it. It would have been a fun little content, but he was a DNP ice last night. So that was a new one, but it's still pretty bad out here. Hopefully it warms up. If you're in the area, be safe and, you know, stay warm. But,
Here's what we're going to do to celebrate just how far we've come since last year's Pistons debacle. And last night wasn't the prettiest win.
No.
And I'm totally fine with them just taking, like, defense off for the first half. They got a back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, you're traveling. Whatever. Just, like, do what you got to do to win the game. But we've come so far in the last just over a year. Nothing warms a cold home like a pie out of the oven, Kyle. And I'm going to put you on the spot right now. We're going to put Chef Kyle on the spot. I want, if the Wolves win tonight against Memphis, This is the 41st game of the regular season, so this is the halfway point. They will have 30 wins at the halfway point if they take care of business on TNT against a Ja Morant-less Memphis team, right? That would put them on pace to win 60 for the season. And I believe, as you've been pointing out throughout every win on Twitter, of the 34 previous seasons of Timberwolves basketball, 17 of them, they did not win 30 games in the whole year. So they, if they win tonight, they will hit 30 wins, and that will be top half of Timberwolves seasons of all time. So can you put together for us, just putting you on the spot, a pie chart of praise for why the Wolves are so much better this season compared to the Detroit debacle on New Year's Eve of last year?
I would say that
you got to do math on the fly here too, by the way, because it has to equal 100%.
I think the slices, not to get too macro here, I think the slices are a veteran slice, a coaching slice, just super duper talent slice. And then I think Rudy Gobert gets his own slice. I think whatever you want to say, 30% of 100% pie, he gets the biggest slice. I think he is, if we were to do a leadership power rankings update, we've never really thrown him in there. I think it's always been Kyle and Mike and other people. I think Rudy Gobert is in the top three of leadership power rankings. Last night you saw it again. They didn't really ever worry about losing to the Pistons. They did win. They're 12-2 against teams under 500. But the only guy that really, Mike Conley wasn't even good last night. And Mike's always constant and great.
But he was like a plus 20, even though,
which is crazy.
It was one of those crazy box scores.
He just had a couple weird turnovers that he never makes. He was kind of hunting a couple shots, kind of going one-on-one against Bogdanovich. But Rudy was great. He sets the tone. He was just phenomenal. I think it's like 20 points or 19 points, 16 rebounds. So he would get the biggest slice of the pie for me this year. I think he is their most valuable player. He is not their best player. That's Ant. Then it's Cat. But he is the most valuable. So 30% goes to Rudy Gobert.
Yeah,
I would say 25%. Now I'm doing math.
This is great. This is why. People think pie charts are easy, right?
You know, yeah, I don't have another computer.
You gotta do math.
We're just gonna, if we get to 110%.
It's math. It's takes. It's also trying to not snub somebody. There's just a lot of factors to consider.
25% goes to Kyle and Mike, a combined. They have to share that slice. It's a rhubarb slice. Because they've just been consistent. Even last night, again, in a game where the Pistons, I thought, were packing the paint, really forcing the Wolves to try to beat them from the outside. Kyle Anderson didn't even take shots. He was 2 for 6, I think. But he led the team in assists with 9. He led the team with steals. He led the team in blocks. He is the conundrum, because you're worried about his spacing in the playoffs, but he's also maybe Finch's most trusted player outside of Mike. When things don't go well, he just subs Kyle in. Without a plan, he's just like, Kyle, you got to go fix this. So
yeah.
Those two veterans have been great. I think that gets us to about 55%. Ant and Carl, the two pillars of this team, get another, let's say, 20%.
So they're sharing.
Yeah, they're sharing another slice.
Just like they're sharing the organization.
There we go. Nicely, it's like a French silk slice. They were great. Carl was great again last night, 5 for 5 from 3. This offense looks continuously jagged and junky and clunky and all those terms, but when he just takes more threes, it's awesome. It opens things up more. It eliminates driving, which sometimes leads to guys falling down or turnovers or offensive fouls. It's a better offensive play, Carl shooting from anywhere in the building, than like a heavy Ant ISO 20 seconds dribbling the ball. So he was great again last night. He's been great in January. He's averaging like a season high in points and rebounds, and like he's not really fouling people this month. It's been great. Ant has also been wonderful. Kind of a stinker last night. You can afford that when your team is really deep, but the number one guy on the team that should make the All-Star team easily. So that's like 35, 25, that's, or whatever.
We're at 75 right now. Yeah.
Last night was a great example of a guy. He gave you some points. He did nothing else in the box score, rebounds, assists, steals, whatever. But I'm just, because he hasn't been traded yet, Jaden McDaniels gets 15%. He was just awesome last night defending. He had that sequence where they threw a lob, he blocked it, he might have gotten some wrist, then he got down in transition, just euroed right to the cup, easy. I don't know who is to blame. Is it Jaden or is it Finch that he doesn't get unlocked a little more? But he showed you again last night when he's hitting threes, he was doing some kind of like off the dribble threes, had a couple of threes in front of the bench that were really confident shots. he has been great. He had a kind of a lull there for a little bit, but his value, you can't look at a box score anymore and be like, wow, Jaden had two rebounds. It's like, doesn't matter. He is always on the perimeter guarding the best guy.
And is it fair to say with Jaden that, and we had a big Jaden conversation like a week or two ago, that he is one of the best perimeter defenders. He has a couple great qualities that repeat on a regular basis, and there's room for a lot more. And whether it's someone's fault or whether we're just like early on it, we need to just let it breathe for the duration of the next 3 or 4 years, that I don't think he's reached his peak anywhere near it. And I think if you establish that he hasn't reached his peak, you can either blame someone or get mad that he hasn't reached his peak, or you can acknowledge that he has 2 or 3 years left before he starts to emerge into his prime. Mm-hmm. So I think patience with the rest of his game. Now, scoring 23 points last night, he can knock down threes. We've gone over, like, really for him, it's about attempts.
Yeah.
Because his efficiency is there offensively, and he's kind of got a bag of scoring tricks too, man. Like, he can shoot threes, he can get to the rim, he can get out in transition. He's got that little mid-range game too. So at some point, I still think he could be the third scorer on this team. Mm-hmm. So I just want to throw that out there when it comes to Jaden McDaniels.
And I've seen some people make valid, although not timely, criticisms that at some point we need to expect more from him because he did sign a lucrative extension. But that extension is not being paid right now. He makes $3 million. He is, for the 23-24 season, probably one of the 10 most valuable players for what he is getting paid in the league, just straight across the league. Now, next year, when that $3 million jumps to, what, $22 million, there will be more of an emphasis on, hey, you have to help us out in these moments. You have to be a second kind of, like, when some of the guys go to the bench and you bring in the second unit guys, like, maybe you lead that, and maybe you're the kind of offensive focal point. But that's 6 months from now. I might have more holes in my ceiling. They might not have Karl Anthony Towns as their second banana. Like, there's just a lot of stuff. So Jaden's expectations will grow at some point. But I don't think this year those expectations need to be anything other than just defend the hell out of the best player on the other team, hit threes, get out in transition. That's a great point by you. Like, he is one of their best guys in transition. He's unguardable, kind of. He just has a weird way to handle the ball. It's high, but he knows how to use his limbs, and he's great. I'm at, like, what, 85% now of this pie? We're getting close.
We're at 90, dude, because we got 30 Gobert. We got Kyle and Mike sharing a slice. That's 55. Ant and Kat sharing a slice to 75, and then 15 to Jaden. So we got
a little aggressive.
Math
there.
Up to 10 left here.
I got a
feels
little aggressive.
Too nice. I would have let you finish the pie and then tell you came up percent short. So figure it out.
Well, Judd has confidently done that before. Where, like, we'll fight him. I don't think the math works out. He's like, no, I've been doing the math all day. It's like, no, and then the commenters have to do the math. But we're at 90 right now.
Okay. Well, I probably got a little aggressive there in the beginning because I do. The guys I'm leaving out now are the coaching staff, Nas and Nikhil. Nikhil last night, again, 7 points. He had probably two of the biggest shots in the fourth quarter that really kind of stemmed the tide. So if you just want to say I gave some pie to the stars, some pie to Rudy, the vets, Jaden, I think 5%, because I want to include everyone. Everyone gets a participation trophy. I want Nikhil and Nas to be like, hey, when we need some juice off the bench, you bring it. It's not always consistent, but just Nas and Nikhil are so energetic and just do the right thing. They're two of the biggest swing the ball guys. They believe in the flow. Credit to them, 5%. And then 5% to just the coaching staff. If you're still a little lukewarm on Chris Finch because the offense hasn't matched the defense. I think they're 15th again in offensive rating, first in defensive rating. I just loved Chris Finch last night after that game, a game that gave you a little PTSD. You know, gave you a little bit, are they going to do this again, whatever. They win. It wasn't as close as a 7-point game. Like, there was some real garbage time stuff there. They pulled the starters, whatever. But Finch, again, post-game, was just not happy. And I think they got a bunch of kind of, in a good way, grouchy coaches that
I love
aren't going to let these guys kind of rest on their morals and be like, hey, I know that loser's tweeting out every other night how successful this season is and how we've made it this far, friends on stuff, but Finch does not want those guys to think they've done anything, because from a fan perspective, it's been great, and they have done some cool stuff over the 35-year history of this, but for what they're trying to do, man, they haven't done anything. So he's not going to let them get too hot-headed or big-headed, and he pointed out a lot of stuff last night. I think Britt Robson said it best on Twitter. Is like, he just states facts, and that's different than criticisms. Like, the way you just state real things. Like, hey, there is a hole in my ceiling. I'm not being critical. I'm just pointing out that it's dripping. So that's what Finch did last night again. He said, listen, there is a hole in our ceiling, literally, and we have to patch that ceiling if we're going to be a true contender. And right now, again, last night, the offense was janky, but they have, what'd you say, 42 games starting tonight to figure it out? So
this will be, well, this will, yeah, 41 after tonight, yeah, 42 so if you
a lot of time
tonight.
To figure it out, a lot of bad opponents coming up that maybe they can get some good reps in, but outside of two Thunder games this month, this is the worst, easiest part of their schedule coming up.
And they're feasting on it so far. Like, they've had a couple games against Portland and Detroit. You know what? I'm gonna executive decision here. I'm gonna carve out 10% more here. We're gonna take this pie chart to 110%. Okay, I like what you did. Or we can take some pie away. I don't know. I mean, if you want to go up to Rudy and take some pie away, you know, to your own life. Rudy, Conley, Kyle, Ant, Cat, Jaden, Nas. We've hit on the coaches. I think if there's just like a 10% chunk we can find for beating the bad teams the mm-hmm. way that you're supposed to, bringing a business like mm-hmm. who was it before the game? I can't remember who it was. It might have been Gobert, but some, you know, what's the key to playing against a team that only has like 4 wins, which is kind of a funny question, but it's a business trip. Like,
well,
just go
Nas
beat
Reed.
Just go
Nas Reed said it to
just
Jace
go
Frederick.
Beat them.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so they are now 10-2 this season when playing teams below 500. Dude, they were like, I'm going to look this up here because I don't want to get it wrong, but I think they were below 500 or exactly 500 last year against below 500 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they were one of the best teams in the league against winning teams, and their lack of concentration, professionalism, maturity essentially took 8 to 10 wins that should have been off of the table for them. And obviously stuck them in the play-in again. So,
yeah, and you know, part of that too, I know this isn't exactly what you're talking about, but part of that also too is their Achilles heel last year was not only losing to bad teams, it was blowing those double-digit leads to any team.
Yeah.
Like, they led the league in the games that they had 10-point or bigger leads, and they blew them. And I think that ties into sometimes I get frustrated too, right? Like, I do want to get any rep I can for a Leonard Miller, for a Josh Minot, for a Wendell Moore, but man, maybe Finch is just a normal dude who's like, I know we're up 16, but we were up 16 last year to the Wizards, and then we blew it. Like, I'm just going to give these guys another 90 seconds. And so he did pull the guys, I think, with 8 minutes left against the Blazers, and we got an extended look at some of the young kind of pups. But he might just continue to grind out wins and then think, okay, once we get to the 65-game mark, maybe then I'll start to rest some guys or pull them a little more. But they are very, very much in the middle of this marathon. And he maybe just isn't ready to slow down yet.
They were 17-18 last year against below 500 teams.
That's crazy.
17-18. For context, the Grizzlies were 27-8 against below 500 teams. The Kings were 26-8. The Nuggets were 24-11 against before 500. In fact, they were the only team in the playoff or play-in of either conference to not be at least 20-14 in those games. So they were like 5 games behind the next team among playoff teams against below 500 teams. They were one of the worst teams in the league against bad teams last year. So
you just said like, 17-18?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you give them those 5 wins, that's a great stat. Just great stat. If you give
Isn't
them those
though?
Five extra wins.
I mean, yeah.
It was but if they were,
what a great contribution to the podcast by me.
If they were, so instead of 17-18, if they were 22-13, they just have those 5 more wins or whatever, that puts them at 47-35. That would have given them the 4 seed in the West, and they would have hosted a playoff series against a Suns team that was, you know, at that time, just KD and Booker. So again, they didn't do that. So we're not trying to make excuses. They didn't do that, and that's why they had to play in the play-in, lose that Lakers one, beat the Thunder, and then just kind of get whacked by the Nuggets. But that might just be part of this equation, that Finch last year, I don't remember Finch last year after some of these games, well, because they lost him, saying what he says now after these games of, like, we haven't done anything. He's really trying to be a tough, crabby dad, and I think that's what this team needs, even with the great leadership at the top with Kyle and Mike and Rudy. They still have an immature gene that he's trying to wean out of them. So what did I say, 10-2 now, 12-2 against bottom 500 teams or 500 or below?
10-2.
Big upgrade over last year's team, which was a lot of the same players.
Do you think, though, like when Finch, I think part of it is when Finch is speaking to his players, when Finch is speaking to the media, which is essentially speaking to your players through the media, and he wants to make it very clear that we haven't done anything yet. We've only really played a half season. Like, I like the attitude that he's bringing to press conferences, and I like the job is not even close to being complete. I like it all. But when he goes home at night, after, I'm not saying after the Pistons game necessarily, but, you know, when they've had a couple nice wins lately, does he go home and pour himself a cold one and sit back and just be like, yeah, this is badass? From where we were a year ago, we are killing it right now. And I don't want to show my team that. But do you think he's the same sort of grouchy Finch when he goes home?
That's a good question. I know I had one or two last night. Beverages. We're not going to get specific. I know some people don't like that. But I do think he is just a real basketball lifer. He's got some Tibbs in him, and maybe we didn't know that. It's always funny to go through the hierarchy or the timeline of coaches, right? Like, the Wolves had Tibbs, and that was, like, type A, like, to the nth degree. Then you bring in the complete opposite, right? Ryan, who is, like, completely different, maybe not the X's and O's guy, but just player relations he's really good at. Mm-hmm. And then you've kind of met in the middle of this coaching Venn diagram that, like, is Chris Finch. He has some Tibbs in him. He loves to play his seven or eight guys a little extra minutes, but he also knows how to connect with his players. One thing you cannot question about Chris Finch is how he gets through to Ant and to Jaden and to Carl and to some of these other guys. So I bet you he had a beverage last night, whether it was adult or non. I'm sure there's some part of him deep down inside that's like, this is pretty cool, but I also think he's been around so much and coached overseas and coached in every different element you can that he's like, we still have a long way to go despite how far we've come. And that's the type of mentality and leadership that this team needs at the top.
Yeah. So, okay, I have an Anthony Edwards question for you, too.
Hit me.
And at the risk of stealing copyright from our guy Bill Simmons and doing like an NBA player pyramid here. So he's now, Anthony Edwards is now 13th in the league in scoring, just in points per game. He's 26 points per game right now. He's 0.1 behind Tyrese Maxey, 0.2 behind Devin Booker, and 0.7 behind Steph Curry. So, like, basically, if he has a, let's say he scores like 38 points tonight, he might actually be top 10 in scoring and surpass Devin Booker and Steph Curry, possibly on TNT tonight. But he's like very much right there as a top 10 scorer, kind of on the fringe. His assists are up, his rebounding, his efficiency. He's shooting almost 40% from three. He's only 22 years old. Where is he in the pantheon of NBA stardom right now? You know, you've got, like, at the top, you've got Giannis, you've got Luka. I mean, LeBron James, even if the numbers aren't quite there compared to maybe previous seasons, LeBron James is still going to be up there in Steph Curry. Where do you think Anthony Edwards is at right now? I know it's not like a specific question, but how would you quantify it?
I think 6 months from now, people will look at him on the exact same tier as Luka. And I think
really?
Luka, I think, and that is me.
He needs a playoff run for that.
Yes. Yeah, that is me basically assuming that there is a good playoff run in this Timberwolves team and maybe a early flame out for that Mavericks team that came out of the gates hot. They looked like absolute garbage in Dubai when they played the Wolves. Good start to the season, but now I've kind of regressed a little bit, some injuries, whatever. But I don't think it's a very good roster. But I just think, like, if the Mavs were to bounce in the first round in six games and the Wolves made a second-round run and Ant's really good. I mean, last night, we've had this talk before, but last night was hilarious because watching the game, complete eye test, I thought, yeah, Ant just doesn't have it tonight. Just not a very good game. Not a lot of guys did. Jaden was great. Carl was great, but Ant didn't have a good game. And then box score-wise, it's like, oh, he had 27 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds.
That's one of the biggest differences. His bad games now are still
even awesome.
He's even had two, like, single-digit point games in the last few weeks, but it's not because he went 3 for 18. It's because the Wolves are up by 20 and other guys are feasting and he just, all right, whatever, like, I'm going to play 28 minutes tonight. But you're right, like, his bad games, even if his scoring is down, he might still be a plus 18. And even if his efficiency's down, it's like, oh, he only shot 42%. He's gotten rid of the 2-for-14s for the most part, it feels like.
Yeah, and I don't, they'll do the player or the GM survey again this offseason, this summer, whatever, and they'll, who would be the number one guy you'd build your franchise around. Carl got that those accolades 1 year, then he kind of fell off the map. I would imagine teams are still super caught up in what Wemby does, because we have never seen, I mean, I was watching him again the other night against, I think, the Knicks or something. It was crazy. He is in and of his own species. But after that, it's like, I don't know anyone under 25 that you're like, well, that guy's definitely better than Ant. Halliburton's really good, doesn't bring the defense. Luka is obviously out of this world, but again, doesn't really bring the defense. Ant isn't as polished offensively, maybe some of those guys. But again, the 8 assists last night, that's like the first column I look at when I look at Ant box scores. I don't care how your shot went in, 10 for 24 last night, but did you get other guys involved? Because the most dangerous thing for this team, or I guess for the league, is if Ant starts being more of a facilitator, kind of what Devin Booker did as he grew up and became more of, like, I guess, a point guard, is that if Ant's averaging 8 assists, if you just told me, hey, Ant's averaging 8 assists in the playoffs, they're probably winning most of those games. So I don't know if that's giving you a direct number. The league is so talented still, and you still trend towards the guys, like, if you're building a franchise tomorrow, do you want Ant or LeBron? Well, you're probably going to take Ant because he's 22. But if I had to win a playoff game, LeBron has had a couple more of those than Ant. So he needs the reps, he needs the experience, but it will take one big run for that kid to kind of cap off, you know, being a movie star, have his own shoe, being an all-star, maybe all NBA. A deep playoff run for him would make him probably a top 5 or 6 player in the league when Simmons does his pyramid again.
It's and they're still like, dude, Kevin Durant in his age 35 season is averaging 29 points.
Yeah, and, really good.
And he's shooting 47% from three, and he has not hit the age cliff at all. So there's still some OG guys up here that until those guys go over a cliff, and it's kind of shocking that LeBron hasn't yet. It's like LeBron is finally under 25 points a game for the first time, I think, in his career. He's almost 40. Like, didn't he just turn 39 in December?
Did you see that? There was a stat last night. This sounds so made up. This might be my favorite basketball stat of all time. LeBron James has played against 35% of all NBA players in NBA history.
Ever?
I don't even know how to quantify that. It's just like he's played against 35% of anyone who's ever played in the league.
That's so he came in and he came in 2003.
Yeah.
And what, you know, we just celebrated the 75th anniversary of the NBA recently, right? So he's, that's pretty crazy.
And for what it's worth, the Ringer's top 100 right now that they kind of do daily update or weekly update, Ant is 17th right now. But the guys that are ahead of him.
Who's ahead? Yeah, who's ahead of him?
So 16 is Lillard, 15 is Fox, 14 Jimmy Butler, 13 Anthony Davis.
Dude, Lillard, I got to stop you.
I didn't make the list.
I know you didn't. This is not the same Damian Lillard. First of all, Damian Lillard plays zero defense.
I would say negative defense, actually. Like, I think he actually gives the team the ball sometimes. Just says, go to the rim.
And Anthony Edwards, if he doesn't play defense on some nights, it's more just out of, there's 82 games and he's flighty sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what this season, what is Damian Lillard better at than Anthony Edwards? So let's just do a comparison here. Anthony Edwards, 39% from three. Damian Lillard, 35. Anthony Edwards, 46% field goals. Damian Lillard, 43. Anthony Edwards, 26 points per game. Dame, 25. Dame has like one more assist per game. Ant's got him in rebounds, in steals, in defense, in effective field goal percent, which is essentially your efficiency.
Yeah.
I mean, objectively, Anthony Edwards is a better player right now than Damian Lillard. I don't even think it's a hot take.
No. And again, but the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes you'll hear Ant isn't a top 10 player, and I think people get like offended. But when you look at the top 10, it's like, okay, so 12 was Halliburton. I'm with you, by the way, on Lillard. I think I might even be with you on Fox. Like, we're getting to a point now where the playoffs carry so much weight. Not even rings culture, just winning playoff games, that if you win a playoff series, I mean, if Anthony Edwards wins a playoff series this April and the Kings don't, you got to have Ant over De'Aaron Fox. I don't really think that's up for debate. So 13 AD, 12 Halliburton, again, a guy who has, I don't know if he's played in any playoff games. I think they're in the play-in. 11 is Kawhi Leonard, but here's where the top 10 is just so juicy and kind of dominated by more seasoned players. LeBron, 10. Devin Booker, 9. KD, 8. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 7. Put a pin in that. Tatum, 6. Steph Curry, 5. Luka Doncic, 4. Giannis, 3. Joel Embiid 2, and Nikola Jokic 1. So that's the list. I think he could go as high as he wants to, depending on how what kind of postseason success they have.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is kind of a tough one to swallow in some ways for Wolves fans, just because, you know, it's I don't know. He was kind of anonymous like 3 years ago, and now,
right.
But it's not wrong. He's electric offensively. He can be a little bit of a volume shooter sometimes. He's not a great outside scorer, but he's incredible, and he's the reason why Oklahoma City is right there on the heels of the Timberwolves in the Western Conference. So I'm not offended by any of those top 10. I don't think.
Nope, neither am I. But I will just say, I got in this riled up Dane the other day. He told me to shut up. Shai is 25, and Ant is 22. And if you go back and look at what Shai was doing at 22, again, we can talk about roster construction, whatever. I think Shai's team was 30 games below. Shai's team back when he was 22 was 30 games below 500. Mm-hmm. So what Ant is doing at 22 is more impressive than what Shai did at 22. Now, Shai is probably just a better player. And if you're drafting guys for one game, you might take Shai, even though, again, the defense from him is not there. But it is eye-opening to say that how many guys, the 16 guys in front of Ant right now, do you think have a guaranteed chance to be ahead of him? And I think it's only 4 or 5. Like Jokic and Embiid, he's not going to pass those guys, but
I think it's like 7 or 8, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, like in terms of in the next 6 months.
Yep.
But top 10, yeah, if he keeps playing like this, and then, you know, to some extent with these lists, it is reputation, and reputation is built up even more in the postseason. But the Damian Lillard thing is like, wow, I'm offended by that, actually, because it's not like Dame has a legacy of rings, right? Like, Steph Curry probably isn't fifth anymore. He's probably ninth.
Yeah,
but he's still Curry, in the top 10. So yeah, we're gonna leave him fifth on this list. But
And he is ahead of, again, this is how deep the league is, but just some names that will ring a bell. 19 was like Jamal Murray, just won a title. Ja Morant was 21. Donovan Mitchell, 23. Paul George, 24. Cat, 25. So that's kind of your top 25 right there. But to be 22 and to be even in this list is pretty crazy. I don't always necessarily know how a guy like Tyrese Halliburton, who's same draft class, is always higher than Ant when you look at what Ant's ceiling can be on the defensive end, and then just, you know, a little playoff success. But
we don't give enough credit to defense sometimes. And again, it's not like he is clamps for all 38 minutes that he's on the court all the time. When he decides to play defense, I think if everyone were playing defense at the effort level that they are able to, he would rank a lot higher than most of the guys that are above him on that list.
Yeah.
But that's the NBA too. How many dudes, unless it's like your livelihood, Rudy Gobert's livelihood is defense. Jaden McDaniel's livelihood is defense. So those guys are going to extend more energy on the defensive side for more games out of 82. And now I'm just kind of making excuses for not playing defense all the time, but there are 82 games. Well, this is the thing. Like, I saw some people worried about, God, they give up 40 points in the first quarter to the Pistons last night. Okay. I don't care. It's the middle of January. We know this team can play clamps defense. If this was a 7-game playoff series, do you think they would like coast defensively in the first quarter? No. But because it's a Wednesday in the middle of January, it's going to happen sometimes. It's human nature. But I'm not concerned about it.
I get it. NBA players make a lot more money than we do. But these guys, I'm telling you, man, I've been in the locker room. Phil, you've been in these locker rooms of all major sports. It is their job sometimes. And I am telling you right now, I am mailing it in this week at my job. I am just trying to get paid and not get fired. And I don't love it. I didn't love that they gave up 40 points to one of the three worst teams in the league last night. But they just showed up, wanted to get their checks, not get hurt,
don't get
a win.
Don't
and they
hurt.
Did everything you wanted last night. The injury report for tonight's Grizzlies game is clean. No one's on it, not even Ant. You know, they didn't lose. They're not a laughing stock. They cut a check, paid, you know, what, Detroit, Michigan taxes, and they survived. So I don't love that, but you are not going to get NBA players to play at their best for 82 games. It just doesn't happen. Last night was a great example, but unlike last year, as we said, they got the win.
I think it's time for a random Wolf of the Week here, boys, with producer Ross, presented by our friends at Modest. So, hey, the Wolves, they've got a lot. They went a stretch there where they didn't have many home games. Their home tonight at Target Center. So if you're catching this podcast, this is a late start too, by the way. You got some time to pregame if you want
Nasty.
To. And Modest is right down the street from Target Center. It's a great tap room in the North Loop. Maybe, you know, Kyle, if you're looking to get away from that hole in your roof, maybe make a trip to the Twin Cities here. We'll go drink some cans. Maybe pick up some 19-ounce stovepipes of Modest to bring back home. But modestbrewing.com if you're looking for a great place to sip on a couple beverages before Timberwolves games. Modestbrewing.com, Kyle.
Yeah, no, a national TV game tonight. So it's on TNT. I believe our idol, our friend Kevin Harlan is calling the game, but no Jim, no Grady tonight. So should be a really good game. Obviously, Kevin Harlan's one of the best. I don't know three Grizzlies players at this point. They are, from a just pure talent standpoint, they are worse than the Pistons right now because of all their injuries. No Desmond Bane, no John Morant, no Marcus Smart. Go to Modest, have a beverage or two, drink responsibly, and have a good time tonight. Because, again, after tonight, they're on pace for 60 wins if they close this one down, and the franchise record is 58.
Dude. Yeah, this is a blast. Okay, Ross, let's do this here. We've got a random Wolf of the Week. So far, to this point, we've done 8 of these. Kyle has 6 wins. I have 2. The last handful of random Wolves... Greg Smith, Shane Heal, Omri Caspi, Bobby Jackson, and Sebastian Telfair. Ross is going to give us a series of clues. Either one of us can shout out a guess whenever we want to. If one of us hits 3 incorrect guesses, 3 strikes, that person is out. The other person automatically wins. Are you ready?
This is your pre-hint, boys. I think you'll be a lot happier today. I just think you'll be happier than the last few weeks. Also, learning today that we can just arbitrarily tell Kyle to shut up might be the highlight of the show.
Highlight of my life. Just at any point, anyone in the comments, anyone. My wife heard that, and she's like, I'm going to start using that. And I was like, well, not great. But
Shut up.
Shut it up.
All right. Just shut up. Shut up. All right, here we go.
Here we go, boys. Random Wolf of the Week begins now. Your first clue. This Wolf of the Week was born in 1990. This Wolf of the Week born in 1990. Uh-oh. Quick math. What does that make him? 33 or 34?
Well, it depends.
Right?
Is it a early January birthday? Because, you know, could be 34.
I'm
more
not
likely to be
that.
33 years old.
This Wolf of the Week born in 1990 was born in Illinois. This Wolf of the Week, born in Illinois.
Mm.
This Wolf of the Meek, the Meek, this Wolf of the Week made his, maybe could be Meek, made his NBA debut in January of 2014. NBA debut was January of 2014.
That's kind of weird.
Well, you know, stew on that.
I think we lost Kyle, by the way.
No, I'm here. I'm just like, trying to, this should be easy.
there's now water dripping from a different space just on his computer.
Yeah, it's affecting his video, but we can hear you still, I think.
As long as you're still there.
This Wolf of the Week has played for 5 different NBA franchises. This Wolf of the Week has played for 5 different NBA franchises. Kyle, in fairness, did you hear the clue about the player's debut?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I'm still here. I'm still here.
Okay.
Mentally, perfect. I'm not, but physically, I'm somewhere.
Okay, great.
That's really interesting. Okay, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on here with these clues. I feel like
this Wolf of the Week, gentlemen, still currently in the NBA.
Okay.
This Wolf of the Week is currently in the NBA.
Oh man, this is kind of a.
And I'm going to double check that really quickly.
Kind of a dark.
I'm going to make sure I read that correctly.
And Ross, he debuted in 2015?
2014.
14,
I will
okay.
correct you for that. Okay. And yes, this Wolf still is, Random Wolf of the Week, is still in the NBA.
I think I have a guess. But... Oh, man.
Do you want one more clue before I give
this guess? Yeah.
All right. This Wolf of the Week has now appeared in over 600 NBA games. Over 600 NBA games.
Is it Robert Covington?
Wow. Well done.
Yes!
It is Robert Let's Covington. Go! Wow.
That's crazy. I was going to jump in and say Thad Young for some reason, but I don't know how old he is. Rob, wow. What?
Rocco in the house. Let's go.
What got you there?
Yeah, what got you there?
I didn't even make the turn to more leading questions.
Well, first of all, what got me here was just talent and intelligence.
My
genetics, beauty, you know, my beautiful brains. Wife. It didn't hit me until, well, active player for one. Okay, 33 years old, and then you said five different teams. So who's a journeyman that entered the league a little later in age? Like, he was 23 when he started in the NBA. Wasn't he like a second round pick too?
Undrafted. Undrafted.
No, I was trying to think of like because you said he came in the league when he was 23 in January, and that signals to me that unless there's a lockout situation, why are you starting your career in the NBA as a 23 or 24 year old in January instead of like November or December? Okay,
that's fair.
So it was like kind of a weird sort of entry into the NBA, and Robert Covington checked all of these boxes. So
I don't trust you guys are in the same office, but I'll give you this one. But that's a real. So I have to look them up on Basketball Reference.
Look at Ross.
What are the five teams? Oh, there we go. See, what are the five
accused
teams?
Of a lot of things, Phil. I don't know if anybody's
Sixers, Rockets, Clippers, Wolves.
That's five.
Oh, and the Blazers. He played two seasons for the Blazers. Got it.
And then two he played for twice. He was actually traded at one point back to Houston. I think that's when.
Dude, I know the Clippers aren't going to move him. I would take Rocco off the bench for 12 minutes, knocking down a couple threes.
He's averaging 4.4 points this year and 3.3 boards.
So he's not doing a whole lot.
He is currently playing for the Sixers now. That's a really good one.
He played for the Clippers too.
I might have botched Philly. He might be on a sixth team. No, it's five, right?
He was part of
the Wolves got him from Philly, didn't they?
Yes.
He was part of the Butler trade, and then. Correct. Okay.
It gets really confusing when you're building these, and this has happened a few times where guys have played for multiple franchises a couple different times, so then you have to go back and count. Well, wait a second. It's two different stints, but one franchise.
He's a bit of a Nas Reed, too. Like, he undrafted, really good find by Daryl Morey when he was running the Rockets. And I think, to Phil's point, he was a Clipper, now he's a Sixer, because he was part of the Harden trade.
Okay, that's what.
So that's how, like, him and Batum went to Philly. I don't like to lose, Ross, so I'm kind of salty, but that was a little better than our guy Shane Heal, who I'm going to try to get on this podcast. I think it's time for Shane Heal to make his debut.
What's the time difference between here and Australia?
Phil and I will record at night. If I can get Shane Heal on the
pod. We're in Australia. It's a big land spot. Let's go Melbourne.
Something tells me Shane will do it. If we can get to him, I think
if you're listening to this, open invite to come on the podcast.
It's actually tomorrow at 8 a.m. in Melbourne, Australia right now.
Wow. That is a big time difference.
Yeah.
8 a.m. So that's like a mega work.
How does that work?
I lived there for 7 months, and I just remember flying back.
What time
back,
is it in India right now?
Easy joke alert. Can Shane Heal tell us the final score of the Timberwolves-Grizzlies game tonight so we can all make some cash off of it?
The listeners, you guys have no idea how much I needed this today. I needed to just laugh about Shane Heal for 5 minutes to stop from crying.
What day and time do you think it is in India right now?
Well, they're ahead of us, too, so it's got to be tomorrow at 1 p.m.
I'm covering my screen.
I actually was legitimately looking at it because I didn't know he was asking me, too.
Friday,
but he's covering it up.
Friday, 1 p.m.?
It is Friday there right now.
Okay.
But it's 2:30 a.m. right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to carry the two. Way too much math today on this podcast.
let's keep playing this game. What time is it in Poland, Phil? Let's just keep looking
Poland's
these up.
Poland is a little easier. Poland's probably like an 8 hour. I would say it's like 11 p.m. in Poland right now.
This would be a great podcast.
Do you have it up?
No, I have no clue.
Oh.
I was asking you.
I'm going to say 11 p.m. in Poland right now.
Let's do the "What time is it?" podcast where we just—it's
like an hour.
Yeah, I'm.
I was an hour off. It's 10 p.m. in Poland right now.
Good for you, Phil. Look at you in your world geography. Would this one have been way too easy for you guys? Because this is one of the last clues that I had. This Wolf of the Week was traded in part for Justin Patton.
I don't know that I would.
Yeah, because that was part of...
In part for Justin Patton.
Yeah. Not at all, but he was included in the trade, so it's
okay.
If you wanted to make... We'll do this in the summer when Phil and I continue this podcast. We'll do a top five guys you just always believed in and still kind of do. Derek Williams is the captain of that team. I just, still to this day, I think he's only like 32. Like, he could still play. But I thought Justin Patton was going to... Out of Creighton, I thought he was going to be awesome. It was like a bonus little first-round pick they got in that Jimmy Butler deal, and everyone's like, why would the Bulls give that pick up? I thought Justin Patton was going to be awesome. I have no idea what time zone Justin Patton is currently residing in, but he's only 26 years old. Give him a chance.
Yeah. I was a big Luke Babbitt guy. That's just a that guy should be a basketball player with the name Luke Babbitt.
Yeah, lefty though.
Was he a lefty? That would have been a good clue.
You know what
right
I think
there.
About lefties and shooting the basketball. So Flagrant House.
Flagrant House, your favorite Timberwolves lifestyle podcast.